Hello and welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 597, a palindrome. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, who is laughing because as I was looking at the script and I saw 597, I thought, please say it's a palindrome. I'm not kidding. And then you said, a palindrome.
Still funny, honey.
Oh, boy, howdy. Hey, check us out on our not as new as it used to be home, contextmachine.io.
Which is also not a palindrome. You can use it, however, contextmachine.io, to reach out to us, or you can hit us up on Twitter at contextmachine.
Mm-hmm. Also, today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
Money, 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 money.
Cha-ching.
And
find
Jeff
a good doctor.
Tell you more about them later in the show. So,
that's right. It's the musical episode.
It is the musical
Brian,
episode.
What are we singing about today?
Today, we're going to sing about the Twittergeddon. Wait, did we do that last week?
Well, we did, but holy crap.
I did not think it was possible for Twitter to spiral even more out of control in such a short period of time.
Right. Over the course of what, 3 weeks now?
Believe it or not, the last show was just last week. We actually recorded it 6 days ago.
Oh, holy crap. You're right. Okay. So over the course of a week, the company lost another 25% basically of its staff.
Well, 25% of the original level of staffing, which is a larger percentage, right? Of the remaining staff.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That is correct.
You mentioned it. I don't know where you first saw it. I first saw it from LOLGOP, which is one of my favorite Twitter accounts, very political in nature. The left-leaning content, so you know, avoid it if that's not your thing. And then I saw someone else mention it too. But it was the Elon sending a "Do you like me? Yes, no."
Right
message.
Click here if you want to be my pal and keep working here. And that's some serious manager chops right there. That's who you want to be working for.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really. Clearly, much of the negative news coming out of Twitter is coming from people who are, you know, some version of angry, aggrieved, actually victimized, have negative feelings and reactions to what's happening in Twitter. Mm-hmm. Right. I haven't seen a lot of content coming from anyone who is gung-ho on these changes or gung-ho on Elon Musk. Maybe that's self-selecting.
You know, it's so hard to know at this point if I'm seeing self-selecting content or if there's something about the algorithms that's pushing certain types of content to me. That said, the pro Elon content that I'm seeing now, it's basically all stands, and it's like creepy, over the top cult mentality.
Yeah, that's true. I have seen some of that, and or at least that's my take on it. And I've also seen, of course, you know, a bunch of alt-right, you know, racist, homophobic nonsense going, you know, gung-ho. Elon has engaged with and retweeted Kyle Rittenhouse. Was that his name?
Yeah.
What's it? Is it Rittenhouse?
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse, right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That says a lot right there. And
it says a lot to me.
Yeah. It says a lot to me. And, if I were the owner of a big company, a very public company, regardless of whatever my personal beliefs and political positions were, I would not be engaging with people on public platforms I would not be engaging with the Rittenhouses, Rittenhouers, whatever of the world.
I would also not want my company's advertising to be on that platform.
Right.
Of the person who's doing that. And we are seeing some of that. But believe it or not, this episode is not all about the Twitter-geddon. Well, it kind of is. I mean, it's not all about Twitter.
Actually, it totally is. But there's all this other stuff we're going to talk about.
It's stemming from Twitter-geddon.
It's a Twitter-geddon inspired episode.
Right. And after talking about Twitter so much last week, we honestly did not expect to be at it already again. But here we are. So, Twitter.
Yeah, Brian?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to point out that when we sat down today and said, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I said, not Twitter, because that's what we did last week.
Uh-huh.
And by the time we had our topics together, I'm like, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. And I didn't set about, it's funny, we were just catching up on this stuff. And the more we were catching up on it and talking about it, the more we realized that, you know, there's probably a lot to say.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, all right. Here's one of my favorite things, by the way, from the Elon fanboys. It is folks who have previously, I mean, in general, what a lot of people who currently champion so-called free speech on private platforms usually mean is that they should never be held accountable for anything they say. That's mm-hmm. usually what their arguments come down to.
I agree. You do see that a lot. And now they may not just outright say that they shouldn't be held accountable for what they say and what they do, but that's clearly the message they're sending.
Yeah, that's the foundation of their argument far more often than not. So one of the things that I've seen from so-called free speech people, for instance, Elon Musk calls himself a free speech absolutist, was hailing banning people who were changing their name essentially to Elon Musk, who were, you know, quote unquote, impersonating people. And, you know, free speech absolutists banning accounts for impersonating someone else is, and then all like cheering and crowing this clever move by this free speech. It's intellectual weak sauce.
It is. I started laughing because when you said, and everyone was changing their name to Elon Musk, I was just picturing all of these people around Eric Idle going, I'm Brian. No, I'm Brian. No, my wife and I, we're both Brian.
Yes. Yes. And anyway, that's an example of the Elon fanboys.
So here we are, and we're at the point where there are more people leaving the platform, and there are so few people left to run the infrastructure that even though I think Twitter will, like we said last week, stick around in some form, it won't be what it is or what it was, but it'll be around. There's not enough people there to deal with any crisis that comes up. So every night when I go to bed, I look and I'm like, okay, well, Twitter's there. I get up in the morning and I look again. So I'm no longer doom scrolling on Twitter. I'm actually doom launching to see if there's still a feed. If there isn't, I know it'll come back, but I'm expecting at some point we're going to have a blackout or maybe multiple blackouts Twitter.
Things might, the servers might go down. I don't know. I imagine that Twitter will survive. I still imagine that Twitter will survive. I don't really know. We're going to talk about some more alternatives, and we're also going to talk about the sort of practical reality of alternatives and even some of the practical reality of something that seems inevitable later in the show. But before we get there, why don't we move on to, like, I know that we've mentioned Mastodon. I had registered there just to sort of, tag my handle. Mm-hmm. And I know that you did. And then you were posting, you were having stuff automatically cross-posted to Mastodon.
Yes.
And I made the argument that you need to be engaged for it to have any value.
And that's a totally fair argument. I am getting engagement, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that some of the people that were following me on Twitter are now following me on Mastodon. They engage with me there, and I engage with them.
Okay.
So, So while I have content auto posting there, it's not just like a robot account for me. I am actively there doing things on the platform. How about you?
No, I'm not. I don't even think I loaded it. I might have loaded it up when we recorded the last show, but I certainly haven't loaded it up since. I did just now. I see a post from you. I see a bunch of stuff from that one political account that I like. I haven't really followed it. I've only followed a couple of people. I'm certainly not engaging or consuming content there yet.
Yeah, well, it's hard because you only have so much time in the day, and how thin do you want to spread your attention? It's, at this point, I'm paying attention to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Mastodon. Excuse me. There's a bunch of Slack channels that I'm following.
I've got multiple discords that I'm involved in.
Oh yeah. There's the multiple discords. Now that we have, a Mastodon account for the Context Machine.
Oh, we do, don't we?
We do.
Is it at Context Machine?
Yes. It's on, Mastodon.social, the one that doesn't have the vowels in it, mstdn.social at Context Machine.
Okay, the fact that there is one without vowels, what, are you, seriously? Yeah. That's not doable.
Well, I mean, that's, you're wrong because they did it.
But it's not sustainable. It's not.
See, this is why it's hard for people to get into Mastodon, because you have to choose a server first. And what I had planned to do when I set up our Mastodon account was put it on mastodon.social, the one that has all of the vowels in it. But apparently it's full. I don't know. They're not allowing new signups on that Mastodon instance. So
it's mstdn dot what?
Dot social
/ Context Machine, because it's not loading up for me. Is it capital C, capital M? No, that doesn't work either. Get mstdn.social/ Context Machine.
No, you have to do / at Context Machine, and then it'll show up.
Ah.
Yeah. See, on one hand, it's like, that's crazy. How am I supposed to know that? On the other hand, when we're using new services, we learn what our URL paths are for.
But so I'm signed into Mastodon, and now I'm being asked to sign in again just to follow my own podcast. This is a crap show. This is not viable.
It's viable for a specific subset of social content users. And the problem that I see with Mastodon is that the barrier to entry is too high for the average user.
Well, okay, but it's not just that. I have a Mastodon account that I am struggling to be involved with, and I cannot follow another Mastodon account. That is not viable. That's not just a barrier to entry. That is way beyond the scope of what the vast majority of people are willing to do. I don't want to have multiple Mastodon accounts to follow multiple accounts on multiple servers. That's crazy.
Okay, and here's another problem with Mastodon right now, because the problem you're describing is something that it's very easy for people to think is a thing, and yet it's not. You do not have to have multiple accounts to follow all of these different accounts that you want to follow. You just need to know what servers they are on. And I say you just need to know, like, that's a simple thing. When you're logged into your account and you know what user you want to follow, regardless of what Mastodon server they're on, as long as you know the server and the username, you can find them. And then you just follow them. And when I say just follow them, you get a little pop-up box that says, hey, this is on a different server. Do you want to really follow them? And you click the follow or yes or whatever button it is, and then you're following them.
Okay, so how do I find it from my Mastodon.social?
Okay, so if you're in your account on Mastodon.social,
yeah.
See in the upper left corner, it says search or paste URL.
Yeah.
The easiest way for you to do this right now, because we know what server it's on, is to type in mstdn.social/@contextmachine. Now, yeah, how is the average person going to know this?
Agreed. And why is it telling me not found? mstdn.social/@contextmachine? Or just no, mm-hmm. No slash.
Yes, slash.
Slash at context machine.
Well, wait, hold on. Maybe it's no slash. Oh my God. See, this is part of the problem.
And I think it's no. Well, no, still not finding it. Oh, maybe I need an at Mastodon.social at context machine. Nope, not finding it there either. This is really cool. This is really cool. This is super cool.
And, okay, now I'm actually following that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I'm not finding it. Okay. So
now I'm not finding it either. Okay. So the problem that you were describing is not the problem that you were actually having, but it underscores the larger problem, which is, it is not simple for the average person to find who they want to follow and then follow them. And here I am, the person that set up this account you're trying to find, and the person that is one of the followers of that account. And when I search for that account from my own account, now I'm not finding it, but it's there.
Right. And all of this is really to make the point, by the way, when I reload the page and I click on the space again, @username @domain is the format. @username @domain.
Oh, so I had it backwards. So it's @contextmachine@mastodon.social.
Okay. Yes. Except for I'm still not finding it. @mstdn.social. And all of this really is to say that this is just a mess. This is not viable. This is not a viable Twitter replacement. It may well be a viable thing for someone who's completely dedicated to a particular use case.
Okay, you just said something that I think is really important. You said, this is not a Twitter replacement.
Oh, I found it. So and, it works with at context machine at Mastodon Social if you use capital C and capital M.
Which is weird because that's not how it's actually set up. It's all lowercase.
I tried it lowercase and it didn't work.
And I'm saying that as I'm actually looking at the account right now on my screen.
Okay. It's finding it without the lower. It's finding it with lowercase now too. It just did not find it at first.
Okay. So maybe there was actually a server problem that we happened to encounter as a recording. Okay. But you said this is not
I'm sorry,
a Twitter replacement.
Yeah.
And that's a very important thing that people need to wrap their heads around. This is not a Twitter replacement. And if you're looking for a Twitter replacement, you will never find it because it will never exist. Twitter was what it was. And there's nothing that's going to come along that does exactly what Twitter did, which is what we all want as a Twitter replacement. What we're going to find are all these different social networks that offers different things, and we'll get some features that that will be like things we had in Twitter, and some features that will be different. But we will never have the Twitter that we did a month ago ever again. That's just gone.
Probably true. Possibly for good, but for good.
I think definitely for good.
I'm sorry.
I think the time where we could create that is just gone. Oh,
the other,
you mean
the other
it's for the best?
Possibly for the best, but for good or ill. It may not be for the best, but it's conceivable that it's for the best. It's conceivable that somehow out of what we're seeing, out of all the mess with social media, with Mark Zuckerberg and his lack of wisdom for wielding the power that he has amassed, which I've been saying for years, you know, all the mess with social media, the way that in particular that Facebook has been used by bad actors to manipulate, to manipulate people all over the world, the way that Twitter itself has used it to manipulate us, but out of that, out of all this mess that we're seeing with Twitter, with the rise of the alt-right and demanding that they not be held accountable for their nonsense, it is possible that something eventually good is going to come out of all this.
I would hope so. In the meantime, I'm looking at what we currently are losing, which is that easily accessible, almost universally accessible platform where the discovery part is surprisingly simple, and the crowd sharing is very dynamic and simple as well. And where I'm going with this is how many times have you had the opportunity to look at Twitter after you felt a little swaying or rumbly around your place, and you're looking to see, was that an earthquake?
I've gone straight to Twitter every time.
Right. That's where you go. Yep. And when there is social upheaval or natural disasters,
yep, going to Twitter.
You go to Twitter. And without that, there's going to be all kinds of really important information that's not going to be available. Here's a perfect example. What if we didn't have Twitter when George Floyd was brutally murdered by the police? What would have happened? Would we have seen the massive outcry that has triggered a lot of social change? Yes, we still have a long way to go.
No, we would not.
Would we have seen that without Twitter?
We would not have, and we know that because we hadn't before.
Yes.
Right. George Floyd was not the first black man who's been horrifically murdered by the police.
Horrifically murdered. Yes. Total side note here.
Yeah.
I was in Minneapolis. It was during the pandemic it doesn't matter. I was in Minneapolis and I went to the George Floyd Memorial.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. You want to talk about something that is incredibly powerfully emotional. If you ever have the opportunity to go, just do.
Okay.
I am so glad that I was there. And, it's amazing how just being at something like that, you're just suddenly, bonding with people you've never seen before and will never see again. And you're just crying with them because just how horrible that situation was. It's just really hitting home. And without Twitter, that experience couldn't have happened.
I agree with. Yeah, I agree with that. That was a Twitter phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Mastodon again. Mastodon is, I don't know. The more I dig into it, the less excited I am about Mastodon as a possibility. There's something new called, where are our notes?
Blue Sky?
Post.news?
Or were you thinking about Post.news?
Post.news was the first one I was going to go to. We're going to talk about Blue Sky too. Post.news is not even, I don't even know if they've launched a beta.
Post.news is active, but you have to be on a wait list right now.
Right. And I signed up for the wait list and you signed up for the wait list.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to let you, listeners, decide who is cooler. Because if you, we both got a what do you call it? A referral URL.
Yeah, you get a referral link when you go on the wait list.
Right. And if you can get five other people to sign up, you will, I guess, have your chances. You'll get moved up in the line.
You move higher up on the wait list.
Yeah. So if you like me more.
When you pay the extra money on Southwest so that you auto check in,
uh-huh.
So you get in a better group, it's kind of like that, but not.
Or if you pay Twitter so that your posts aren't shadow banned, that's cool. But we're going to get to that later in the show.
Yeah.
So if you like me more, you'll go to the show notes and you'll use my link. The end.
But since you like me more, my link will be there too.
Oh, I see.
Oh my God, Brian, I could be so horrible. Okay.
I'm the one who pushes publish.
Behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. Okay. You push the show public, but I do the show notes.
Yeah, but I look at the show
notes. I could just put my link on both of
them. I look at those. Do you think I would not look at those in this particular instance? I've met you, sir.
Do you think I wouldn't wait till after you push the show and then go and change the link?
Yeah, but then I could change all. Okay, anyway. All right. So if you like me more, use mine and just assume that Jeff hasn't screwed me. Just go ahead and assume that.
I that's a safe assumption because while I sit here and talk smack like this, I would feel so bad and so guilty if I did that to you for a minute.
Right. So So if you like me more, use my link. If you like Jeff more, and really you should like Jeff more. He is despite this nonsense, a much better human being than me. You should use his link. I am cuddly. You can sign up for the post.news waitlist. And then there's also Blue Sky, which is again, we're going to talk more about this later in the show, but Blue Sky is a Jack Dorsey blockchain based decentralized protocol for social media. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds kind of, based on what we know, like another way of doing Mastodon, but maybe with we don't know yet. But, you know, the whole thing with being able to have it like not centralized, sort of like Mastodon is, I feel like there's a bit of that happening with Blue Sky.
Well, but Mastodon, we were talking before the show, and Mastodon has shut down like Nazi related servers.
Oh yeah.
So that's not, yes, that's not completely decentralized, because otherwise Mastodon would not be able to do that.
Okay. The servers are decentralized. The control is not,
except for the fact that they've shut down servers.
Yeah, that's why the control is not decentralized.
The control is centralized. If they can shut down a server, yes, control
that's
is...
what I just said. I accept your apology.
Am I completely mishearing you?
You are. It's okay.
Control is centralized.
Yes.
Okay. So yes, exactly. Control is centralized. Fantastic. The
thank you for pointing that out, Brian.
But I mean, so you can have your own Mastodon instance of some sort.
Yes.
But the creators / you know, owners of Mastodon can still shut your server down from their overall protocol. I'm guessing that what Jack Dorsey is working on, that will not be the case. Again, we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show.
After the show. Yeah. And wouldn't it be great if everyone could be here for that?
The second half of the show. After we talked about
it. I thought you said after the show.
No, second
half. Am I mishearing you?
Yes.
Diction, Brian. We both need to work on diction.
Or listening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Blue Sky. I think I signed up for the beta on that too.
Yeah, I've signed up for the beta on that. One of the things that I'm doing, as I hear about all these different services, social media services that are out there or are spinning up, I go and sign up or get on the waiting list. Even if I don't really plan on using them, I just want to lock in my name so that no one else can take it.
Yeah. How's LO working?
How's what working?
LO. Remember them? Wasn't it ELLO? What is it? No, it's a dietary supplement company. Do you remember that? It was supposed to be a Facebook replacement. Is it hello.com? The Hello Network? Yeah, hello. Wait. No, not goodbye. See you again soon. Pausing hello while we get ready to launch something even better. I don't know if that's the one. I thought it was ELLO.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember. The problem is there's so many of these out here. ELLO is, you're right, dietary supplements.
Well, there's also LO.co, but that's the creators network. That's definitely not the one. It was supposed to be a social media. It was supposed to be a Facebook replacement.
I can't even remember now.
No.
So one of our listeners will know, and they will tell us.
Every once in a while, I'll get a notification that some spam account is following me.
Oh, funny.
Which, by the way, on Instagram, I think I now have at least 150 catfishing accounts following me.
Oh, man. Yes. The number of accounts like that following me on Instagram. Yeah. Total catfishing accounts.
Like I hit, apparently I am of an age that is particularly susceptible to catfishing attempts. I mean, I mean, to be fair, some of these girls are really nice. I think they get me. I really think they get me. No, there's this massive number of catfishing accounts, and they don't seem to go away.
No, they don't. I mean, there was a time when I would make them unfollow or block whatever it is on Instagram when you bump them off from following you. And it got to the point where it's like, this is ridiculous. I can't keep up with this.
Yeah. I stopped trying.
Yeah. But I mean, they're all single woman looking for best life, honest, true emoji.
Yeah. The commitment free. I've gotten direct, like looking for commitment free sex.
Yeah, I've got some of those. Occasionally they'll have their OnlyFans link in there also.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, good advertising, I suppose.
Sure.
My favorite is that they will all like the same 5 posts from my account.
Yes.
They pick the same. They all pick the same pictures. So I don't know if it is completely a bot or if it's the same team, you know, somewhere in an emerging market. I don't know. It's really annoying.
A team that has a server full of bots and yeah.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Good times. So anyway, yeah, LO, which I cannot find anywhere. Actually, I wonder, let me see if I can find an email. LO notifications. There we go. All right. Elephant notifications. The last one I got was what? Last year? No way.
So what's their domain name?
LO.co.
Oh, so it's LO.
ELLO.
Hello. Oh.
ELLO. Oh, and Mr. Slater's parrot says hello. It's the Creators Network currently is what they're calling themselves. So they've seemed to have done a pivot away from being a Facebook, competitor to being something aimed at content creators being able to disseminate their stuff. And my account is still active. Definitely pitching. They're definitely pitching themselves for content, which is good because being a Facebook competitor probably was not going to work. To wit, it did not. And there you have
it. So, yeah, there you go. All right. So now they're going after, what's the content creator network that's been around forever?
Oh, yeah.
I feel ridiculous that I can't remember content now.
Creator social media. Bark? No.
No.
Upwork?
That's one of them.
Those are all ads. Wow. Not. I know who you're talking about. Can't find it. If you remember out there, please let us know. So before we get bogged down too much more, why don't you tell us about ZocDoc, and then we'll talk about some other stuff.
I think that actually sounds like a great plan because ZocDoc is our sponsor. So here's the deal. You need to have a doctor's appointment, and you need to find the right doctor for it. How do you do that? Well, ZocDoc will help you. So what they've done is put together this whole network of doctors who are patient reviewed, and you can even see if they take your insurance, and so you can use this app and just go through and find exactly what you need, and then get your appointment set up, and away you go. So it's much easier than just, like doing a Google search and hoping that you find a doctor that's going to be right for you, or asking a friend. And then it turns out, oh, that's a doctor that's not actually available now. They're not taking on new patients, whatever it is. You need a way to be able to find what you need when you need it and have some way to know that these doctors have been vetted and have a much higher likelihood of being a good fit for you. So ZocDoc, it's a free app. It shows you doctors who are patient reviewed and take your insurance and are available when you need them. So here's what you need to do. Go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. And many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM. And hey, thank you, ZocDoc, for being our sponsor.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so Blue Sky is Jack Dorsey's thing. He wants, where's that quote? Let me find that quote.
You find that quote.
I'm going to find that quote any second now. Private message. I'm quoting from Business Insider. We'll have that link. Do you have that link already?
I have that link.
Okay. In private text messages between Dorsey and Musk, that would be Jack Dorsey, Twitter founder, former CEO, and Elon Musk, current owner and CEO, that became public in the course of Musk and Twitter's months-long legal saga, Dorsey said, quote, "A new platform is needed. It can't be a company. That's why I left." He went on to say, that's an end quote. He went on to say that Twitter should have a, quote, open source protocol, unquote, similar to the encrypted messaging app Signal, adding that Twitter, quote, can't have an advertising model. Now, notice that Elon has been trying to shift to a paid model, I guess, I don't even know. In addition, we know that Blue Sky is some kind of blockchain organized thing. So the idea being that people who are posting will be free of any kind of centralized control. Which is, it's so, like, one of the things, for instance, that the right in particular wants to pretend is not the case is that a platform does get to choose who it wants on its platform.
Mm-hmm.
For good or for ill, I might add. So, like, for instance, Elon does have the right to ban accounts that quote-unquote impersonate because he owns it.
Right.
In my opinion, he has nothing but gall to then also claim to be a free speech absolutist because incompatible.
Yeah, I think we're misinterpreting what he means. He's absolutely about free speech that makes him look good, but not if it pokes fun at him.
Yeah, I would imagine there's no way. Everyone's the hero of their own narrative, hero of their own story. There's no way that he's thinking of it in those terms either.
Oh, of course not. No, he's not. He thinks he is a free speech absolutist, and despite the cognitive dissonance, is okay banning who he wants.
Yeah, like banning. You know, or firing,
you pay to be seen.
Yeah, firing people who criticize him or, you know, complain on Twitter from Twitter. I mean, that's, you know, that's not free speech absolutism. That's
no.
not even close. All right. So, but he does have the right to kick whoever he wants off of Twitter at this point because he owns it. It is a private. But it's a private company with a publicly accessible service, and my point there is I kind of actually lost my point. With a decentralized system, though, there is no controlling entity to kick someone off, or to edit a message, or to censor a message, or to hide a message, or to shadow ban a person.
You know, to me, this is absolutely crazy that Jack Dorsey would be trying to create that type of a system because he ran Twitter for a long time. So he knows from experience, you cannot have a social network platform that does not have controls and moderation.
And, well, you can, and, like, but it will be dominated. It will be dominated by bad actors. It will be used and manipulated by malicious entities, including, you know, country governments, criminal organizations, military operations. It will be used.
It will be used, but you ultimately can't have it, because what happens is you start with your utopia idea, and then you get the more extreme and then mega extreme users that show up,
and the deliberate propagandists.
Yes. And then that pushes away the rest of the people. Now, all of those extremist and propaganda accounts, they have shown up because they have this audience that they can target. Once that audience leaves, it's just them. And then there's no value in the social network anymore. And now they have to go to another one.
Yeah, or you know, it could still be used for organizing and, you know, disseminating information to the built-in audience. But regardless, they always inevitably become dominated by definition by the worst of the worst. I mean, so far, this is simply a fact.
Yes, and expecting that the next one that comes along won't be that way is myopic or naive.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Dorsey is one smart cookie. I believe that Jack Dorsey is one smart cookie.
I think he's smart too.
I'm sure he has a reason for thinking this, Jeff.
Well, I think this falls under Chaffin's razor, which is the feeling that if something seems crazy, then there's a piece of information that we are missing that explains why it's actually rational, and we're missing that other part.
Seemingly, yes, because it does seem crazy.
Yeah.
So in that Jack Dorsey is probably not crazy. There is seemingly something that we don't know.
Yes. And I cannot imagine that he would think this time, no, really this time this can be left essentially unfettered and uncontrolled and it will work out okay. He knows better than that.
Yeah.
You would think we have to be missing a piece of information.
And, can we go sideways a little bit from the standpoint of Musk's plan? He says that basically having only Twitter Blue accounts be amplified will solve spam and bot problems. Which is
no, that will amplify spam and bots because they will buy their $8 Twitter Blues.
100%. And the troll farm, what was the RT troll farm? What was that called? Russian troll farm. The infamous source of blah blah blah. That's from ProPublica.
I can't remember the name, but when you say it, I most likely would be like, oh, right, that was it.
Internet Research Agency.
That isn't what I was thinking, but okay.
It's the troll farm that has been meddling in Western politics, not just the U.S. politics, but
yeah.
European, English, or British, I should say, or UK-ish. Politics, U.S. politics, and being able to take a paid accounts only system and using that to get your propaganda amplified is child's play. I know that we disagree on Elon Musk's intelligence.
I think he's very intelligent. I think he's a very bad manager.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. He's probably not insane. So maybe there's information missing here, but what we've seen so far, of course, is that anybody with $8 can get a verified account saying that they're anyone that they want to say. Now, maybe that'll be fixed. Maybe it won't. It probably will be. But the point is that having paid accounts only, like even if it works, even if it magically cuts down on bots and spam and propaganda, which, again, I see no evidence to support that. But even if it was true, it puts so-called free speech into the hands of the rich.
That's absolutely true. And think of all the people that have been able to use Twitter in countries around the world when there's been like political upheaval, and they need to have a voice and get the message out. If they can't pay $8 a month, that message doesn't go out.
There's plenty of people in the States even who cannot afford $8 a month.
Yeah. To assume that $8 a month is nothing is a very narrow perspective.
That's a billionaire's out of touch perspective.
Yeah. $8 is a lot of money for a lot of people, throughout most of the world.
Yeah. So again, completely decentralized, no control. Social media is a recipe for a hellscape.
It absolutely is. And we have a track record of social networks showing that without that control and that moderation, that it devolves into a cesspool dumpster fire.
Yeah, and it's not even social media. Let's look at like the comments section of any site on the planet.
Oh, holy crap.
If there's no moderation, yeah, it is dominated by awful people, or at least people who behave awfully when they're allowed to get away with it. Because, mm-hmm, we saw this at TMO. The forums and the comments alike, if we did not tamp down on the nonsense prevailed.
Yeah, absolutely true.
And it's not just when I'm behind the scenes and I can see what's going on that has supported this. Every site on the planet supports this. If there's no moderation, bad people prevail.
Yeah, there's a reason why a lot of online sites just shut off comments for their content. Because at some point, the business proposition of managing that just doesn't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And while the engagement, when it's healthy, is great, you know, there's a point where it's like, well, that's it. We cannot manage this anymore. Turn it off.
Yep. And social media is nothing more than a continuation of that. I mean, you know, to a large extent, social media is sort of like the next. You had online forums, you had bulletin boards, then you had online forums, then you had the comment sections of sites, and the next step was social media. And
don't forget the very first step in that, which was letters to the editor.
Yeah, now, and
luckily, those would show up, and they didn't have to print them.
Right. Yeah, those have always been heavily edited, heavily managed, curated.
Yeah. So, but the point is, there's a long history that shows that without that control, without that moderation, it just goes to hell.
So I've signed up. I'm, you know, Jack, if you're listening now, you've heard my skepticism. I've signed up for early access to Blue Sky. I know you have too.
I have.
Yeah. But I'm not expecting much to come out of it. I do understand Jack's desire, this notion that like it can't have an advertising model. There's a lot of negativity that goes along with an advertising model.
There is
a lot of downside.
However, when you take the advertising model out, currently the only viable business option we have is that users pay.
Yeah, and that means
it's once only users pay, you've cut out a substantial part of your potential user base because a lot of people can't pay.
Yeah, the Jack is speaking sort of directly to this thing that you and I have talked about a million times, not only here, but the problem with being the product. If a product is free, if a product or service is free, then you are the actual product. You're the one who's being sold to advertisers, more than likely. And
yes,
I love the idea of him thinking that that's not a good thing. It's not, he's not directly speaking to that, but when he talks about the problems of an advertising business model, that's part of the problem, is that the users are the product. And that is, in fact, a problem.
Yes, I agree. There's another problem, which is we currently don't have another viable solution that allows users allows you to have users that aren't paying, that aren't also ultimately the product,
right?
Unless you do an advertising model,
right? Because then it becomes the purview of the rich, or the compared, right, the comparatively rich, depending on, you know, how you're going to define that. So yeah, I mean, I guess the secret here, the dirty secret, is that Jeff and Brian don't have the answers either.
Well, there is an answer that I don't think either of us would like that much, which is you have an easily and openly accessible social platform, but it's government funded.
Well, you actually have the issue of censorship.
Yes.
Because, yes, you know, that is the public square when it's government subsidized or taxpayer subsidized,
right? And, so and that comes with its own mess of problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we don't have a good solution yet to the funding. The way it's working on Mastodon right now is very interesting because it's totally voluntary donations, and anyone can use it for free, no restrictions at all. But people are donating. And as long as Mastodon has a good, strong following, which today it does. Now, granted, we're talking about a million or so users. Then Mastodon stays financially viable.
That's a million registered accounts. That's not a million users. I'm a registered account and I ain't used it.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Their registered account numbers were in the 500,000s up until about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And then they shot up over a million.
Yeah, but that's still nothing. It's still a drop in the bucket.
That's and nothing.
The steps that we were going through to try to find the context machine just shows what a mess it is. It's not viable.
Yes.
I'm sticking to that. It's not viable. I'm sorry, by the way, Mastodon.
It's not a Twitter replacement.
It's not, okay.
It's a nice alternative for a subset of users. Right. The way it's being managed and developed, they have the potential to do things that make it much easier to find other users. They have flexibility in what they do because of the way they're managing the whole system. Whether or not that happens, well, okay, we'll see. But you're right, today, This is a service for people that are very comfortable, I think, with technology and are not afraid to spend the time to poke around and figure out how to do something. And both of us, we've been in this for a long time, and we just sat here and tried to figure out why we couldn't find our own account.
Yeah, we eventually got there.
I mean, we got there, but would my mom do that?
No, I don't
know. As my mom hit the sign up page and it says pick a server, she'd be done.
And when you sent me the link, or when I tried to pull up the link to the account, I found the account, but there's no direct way for me to follow it because I wasn't on it. So I mean, that's just a mess. It's a mess. It's not, but to your point, I keep saying it's not viable. And the correct sentence would be it's not a viable Twitter replacement. For a subset of people, it is, yes. It is, you know, probably perfect.
And I have to say, the feeling that I have on Mastodon right now reminds me very much of the feeling that I had on Twitter long, long ago when it was still a relatively new thing. It felt fresh. It was friendly and fun conversations, and it wasn't doom scrolling like it's become over the last few years.
Yeah. So, but that's a product of a bunch of different things.
Oh, absolutely. And over time, everything evolves and changes. I'm hoping that the way Mastodon evolves and changes stays more friendly and fun as opposed to Doom Scroll Patrol.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. All right. Well, I don't think we've solved anything. We certainly have whined a lot and complained a lot and pointed out some real problems. So yay us.
Yes. Go us. Look at us being thought leaders.
Being thought leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe I got that out with a straight face.
I have only one response. That's it. That's believe it or not, that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to add, comment on, or question, you probably have tons of questions. You can write us over at contextmachine.io. You can reach me on the Twitter at GeekTales. Jeff, where are you?
I'm Jay Gamet, unlike all the socials, including the apparently super easy to find mastodon.social.
With the vowels.
Hey, also, yeah, mine's with vowels, yes. And Brian, you need to go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free and then start your search for top-rated doctor today. And
fantastic.
And good news for you, many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM. Thank you to ZocDoc. And this has been fun, as always.
It has been. And also, thank you to CashFly for providing our bandwidth. Bass was recorded by Boom just for us. And that is all for this week, yes?
I think that we need to start saying Dr. Boom.
Dr. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Dr. Boom. Yes. Because
Ricky's a doctor.
He is a doctor. Dr. Boom.
So now, the base is provided by Dr. Boom. Dr. Just Boom. For us.
I love it. Okay. Thanks, everybody.